The Hunger Games, Catching Fire. While not quite a bullseye, Catching Fire is far from being a bouncer. In this segment, Katarina Aguilar joins the Misfits to discuss the film adaptation of the second book in the Hunger Games trilogy.
Since the last games, something's different. I can see it.
What can you see?
Hope.
You saved us.
I know that.
But I can't go on acting for the cameras and then just ignoring each other in real life.
She's not who they think she is. She has to be eliminated.
I agree, but in the right way, at the right time.
We have to go before they kill us. They will kill us.
People want to fight. I'm staying here.
They fought very hard in the games, Miss Everdeen. But they were games. Would you like to be in a real war? Imagine thousands of your people dead. Your loved ones gone.
What do I need to do?
This is the 75th year of the Hunger Games. The tributes are to be reaped from the existing pool of victors.
I want you guys to forget everything you think you know about the games. Last year was child's play. This year, you're dealing with all experienced killers.
Any last advice?
Stay alive.
Hunger Games: Catching Fire. This is a sequel to the mega hit Hunger Games. Katniss and Peeta, the winners of the last game, winners mean survivors because everyone else died, are now doing tours around the country because they're heroes, but they're also symbols for the revolution, the disquiet and hostility brooding in the land. So the president wants her to be just a symbol, but she is more than that. And the more they travel, the more they raise hell, basically. So the president puts them back in another Hunger Game where all the survivors have to survive against each other, basically kill each other. So Katniss and Peeta go back into the arena, but this time they're up against the best, the survivors, even though some of them are pretty old. But there's something else afoot, something nobody knows about except a few insiders.
Hollywood has been so desperate to try and plug into the youth audience because it's kind of going other places and have other things to do. So it's like, well, are we going to adapt some kind of web series? Well, no. Is it video games? No. And it's just kind of a little bit amusing to me that what they finally ended up going to were books, and looking for the kind of hip thing that's going to pull kids into theaters, it seemed like books would be the last one. And yet here are these, you know, the Twilight series, something like The Book Thief, all these young adult books.
Well, I think here Harry Potter was a trendsetter.
They make their core audience happy, but they reach a much broader audience than that. And when I thought about it, I think the reason might be so many films now, I just had the feeling they're afraid of emotions. You know, they're either too hip or too cool or too arty, or they feel like that's all been done, so they want to do it in another way. But I think one of the key thing about all these young adult novels is they go for that kind of emotion. They go for people doing big things and feeling for each other and standing up for each other. Even though Hollywood's smart enough to adapt these books, I don't think they still are quite clear on why they really connect with a wider audience also.
I liked the first one a lot, and I thought that it was a well-done film based on a book. It brought enough of the book to the screen and did so wisely, I thought. It left out things that weren't really necessary or wouldn't have been very cinematic. This one, again, it didn't do for me what the first one did. I wasn't as excited by it or as interested. And actually, I really wanted more games, Hunger Games, than all the other stuff that went into it. As much as I like Donald Sutherland and Stanley Tucci and everything, I really wanted more of the games and more of the mechanics of the way the games worked, and there wasn't enough for me in this.
To me, it was as interesting as the first one, maybe a little more so, actually. You know, I could care less about the games. I didn't have a problem with the political stuff that was really involved in the second one. We'd already seen an entire film about the Hunger Game, so I didn't need to go back into the island and the running around. I had no problem with the setup, the old boyfriend, the evil commandant general who comes in, and Donald Sutherland plotting, and I actually liked that stuff. By the time they got to the games, yeah, it was fine. It came in late, and it was a little different from the first time. time. You know, everyone's working together and not trying to kill each other.
Yeah, that's actually how it is in both books. In the first book, there was like a lot of exposition before the game, but they took out a lot of it in the first movie. In the second movie, they made an effort to squeeze it all in. In all three books, actually, there's always like some big shadowing, introduction for the games. And the acting was really good. I believed every single emotion, like Katniss really is afraid and crying, and Peeta really does love her. The only one who kept bugging me with her little acting skills was Primrose. Primrose acted way too superior. You know, she was that kind of girl who's like, okay, camera, I must look as pretty as possible, even though it totally doesn't match the situation.
The thing that bothered me again was the Josh Hutcherson height differences. Sometimes he's taller than Jennifer Lawrence, and sometimes he's shorter, and sometimes he's even, and so, I mean, he's all over the place height-wise.
Yeah, it's the Alan Ladd school of acting.
Yeah, and it's also because it also depends on the height of your apple crate each day.
That's
so
right.
It's going to vary.
I'm going to stand on this crate or on the milk crate. No, the apple crate.
sorry, we don't have that crate yesterday. We brought you the big one. You'll be taller.
When you focus on that kind of stuff, that means you're not interested in the film. So the first half of the film, again, was to me, that's what I was focusing on.
For
the
me,
actual
the,
movie.
The two males are just almost interchangeable. They just didn't register with me at all.
What, the boyfriend? The rival?
The boyfriend and then her partner.
Peeta.
Casting-wise. The boyfriend back home is superior, but that's just me.
But you'd have to cast a person who wasn't just a straight-ahead kind of normal hunky boyfriend, because then you wouldn't doubt him the same way I think you doubt this Peeta. This Peeta could be strong, but there's a sense about him you buy into the weakness also.
I think the boyfriend back home, though, is obviously heroic in his own way.
If you are out of rabbits and you need some killed for dinner, he's your man.
No, but also he stands up for the village when it's being attacked and he gets beaten and tortured for it, so...
Katharina, obviously these books appeal to you, the movies to some extent, but you love the books. Do you think that's in part because our protagonist is a female? Would you like these books if the protagonist was, say, Peeta, if it were all about him instead of her? Or are you drawn to them because, again, it's a strong female image?
I don't really care in that part because I really like Peeta. He's actually my favorite character. But I guess I like it a little better when it's from Katniss's point of view, because she's a little more action. Like, if it was Peeta, if it was from his point of view, there would be a lot of love in it. There'd be all like, is she with Gale? Is she not with Gale? Does she love me? I've been watching her every day, because he's pretty obsessed with her just in the movie, even when it's not from his point of view. So if it was, it would be a romance book rather than a action science fiction.
One thing I did miss in this one was, and I guess it's natural for it not to be there, but I liked the way that we got to see Katniss in preparation for the games, and the stylist, and the way that, you know, she was transformed and configured to be a representative from her district. And I know we're not going to see that again, but those were the kind of elements that I did miss. Enough of her stylist and too little of her fire and all that.
I think that's what makes the Hunger Games successful. It is for a large female audience, and to a certain extent kind of a gay audience, in my opinion. But there's just so much of that, and it's so important and integral to the Hunger Games spectacle. But a little of that goes a long way. I mean, everybody is kind of like a hairstylist, pretty much, you know, the costume.
I mean, you have your grubby, unhappy, hungry people, and then you have the contrast of the decadent, over-foppish kind of city people.
Like Lady Gaga's.
Exactly, a whole city of them. They have a new Hunger Games where all the old timers come back. And all the old timers are not happy about that, because that wasn't part of the original agreement. Because again, we have all the interviews like we did in the first one where everybody's sucking up and playing up. But in this one, because none of them wants to play in the games again, they're actually saying dismissive, rude things to try and get thrown out of the games. They should have had more fun with it or done more with that opportunity
but
than they did.
But that's not Stanley Tucci's fault.
No, it's not. But again, it's like, I know we're building up to the moment where she wears the wedding dress there and then it burns up flame, and reveals kind of the Mockingjay thing. And that was a nice moment, but I don't know. I just needed a little more leading up to some of these things.
Yeah, in both movies, that's actually my favorite part, the showman and Stanley, because he's really funny and I love show business for some reason. And seeing Katniss, you know, being all show-like with all the other tributes and stuff, I would have enjoyed it more if they showed more of the tributes having those conversations.
I guess one of the things that bothered me a little bit about the film was Donald Sutherland and the government seemed too powerful. powerless to try and make anything happen. Okay. When they get to the island, it kind of becomes clear that everybody's there to try and help her because she's the symbol of the revolution. And I wanted at least one person on the island who was a rah-rah government guy, who believed in their ideals, believed he had won, believed he represented something, and maybe they were going out of their way to cheat and give him more help than he deserved. So at least there would have been one real human thread on the island, which is something I missed a lot, I'd have to say.
But you had one whole group who wanted to actually kill her and actually took the game seriously.
We were never with them.
They had like a whole fight in that rotating armory.
At the very beginning, and that was it, when they first go to get their weapons.
In the second book, the threat was supposed to be Finnick, and I guess the movie did that okay, but yeah, I agree that they should have had that more big threat going on.
I kind of agree that it took too long to get to the actual games. But once I got to the games, I did like the games. I just thought there were a few characters that were missing that they kind of introduced and then got lost.
Because there were two people that supposedly could hide, right? Because they were pure or something.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything in this one.
One of them saved PETA, not her.
Yeah.
In the book, there's supposed to be this whole deal, like Haymitch lets it in on half the victors, that in order to make Katniss work with them, they have to keep PETA alive. So that's why the Morphling sacrificed herself to save PETA, because the whole goal was to keep PETA alive. That's also why Finnick did it. Actually, according to the book, there was two Morphlings, and the boy doesn't really do anything. He's never mentioned in the book apart from the beginning, so they didn't really do anything wrong in that scenario. The book did, because only one Morphling appeared, the girl who saves PETA.
But what bugs me the most is in both films, every time there's like a shot, like whenever she's fighting, aiming the arrow at a moving target takes her 1 second. Aim, shoot. And then when she has to shoot a totally obvious, like a highlighted red target, like a bullseye in the center of the sky, huge, not unmoving, or that crate of apples, it takes her, like in the first movie when she's aiming at that crate of apples, it took her a whole 55 seconds to aim. Very similar when she hits the bullseye. I mean, she could have just aimed, shot, and then ran. The one thing that I can't believe they actually let go was Katniss's arrows kept refilling themselves. Magical arrows. Magical quiver.
You know, the same thing happened in all three Lord of the Rings films. They never run out of arrows. Yeah. The elves, when they're shooting the orcs, they just don't run out of arrows.
Yeah, if you got a quiver of elven arrows, you got it made.
That's a pure physics-free area, literally.
Speaking of bow and arrows, that last shot where she shoots the dome, that was impossible. I mean, you know, she shoots that arrow a mile in the air with a cable attached to it. I'm going, that's ridiculous, but fine, we'll go with it.
The thing that disappointed me just a little bit, most of the characters I was fine with, Woody Harrelson, all of them, but I actually thought in this one, they had a chance to make the PETA character an actual really interesting guy. They had like moments where he had to sit and watch the boyfriend who had been whipped at the whipping post in middle of the square, and I thought they were going to have some kind of recognition of one or some kind of acknowledgement of their crazy situation. And then the other thing that I thought it was going to go in a direction is like, she doesn't even necessarily have to love PETA, but it's like, you know, when you're in a war, you know a certain existence that no other people do, and so when you meet another guy who's been in a war, you guys have an instant bond. And so the thing for Katniss is, PETA's the only other person who knows what it's like to be what they've gone through, and I was just kind of hoping just that experience, her realizing at some point that, yeah, I may love this other guy, but he doesn't understand what I'm going through. He doesn't understand what it's like to kill somebody. He doesn't understand all this stuff, and PETA does. Again, it seemed like they were going that way, and then they pulled back, and I was a little disappointed. I didn't want love between them necessarily, but at least a recognition of this special bond.
You'll get it. She chooses PETA in the end.
Hey, don't tell us!
Hey! Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
All right, now we don't have to see part three.
Yay! Four.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they always break the last book into two parts.
This thing is all about spoilers. Here's another one.
In general, are you pleased with the adaptations of the books, Catula?
Yeah, I think so. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but I actually like it more than the book. And that's a rare thing.
Wow. So they did a good job. But again, you're looking forward to the third one.
Yes, definitely.
And the fourth one?
No.
I want to see how they play it all out.
Yeah, they can still go wrong. It's Hollywood after all.
After all.
After all.
Remember who the real enemy is.